Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your blessings and compassions upon our lives. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for your protection and preservation that is upon us. We thank you for making us stronger than our weaknesses. Thank you for giving us dominion over our enemies. Dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Dominion over witchcraft. Dominion over sin and death. Thank you for giving us dominion. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We also thank you for the wisdom you have given to us to succeed and to excel. Thank you for the wisdom you have given to us to solve problems and to fix difficult situations. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all that we have learned from you through the Bible study classes we have been having on this platform. We thank you because you're going to teach us more even right now. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that you manifest your presence and power in this place right now. Let the eyes of our understanding be opened. And let our understanding be enlightened through your word. In Jesus' name. Let the teaching of tonight produce spiritual growth and maturity and revival in every life that we join this teaching in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. As you know, we have been looking at a topic titled persecution. We have talked on a lot of subtopics under that topic. Praise the Lord. So now we're going to be moving to another topic. Or you can say subtopic. There are several points under this title called persecution. And we have talked on point number one that says persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. that is, all followers of Jesus have been promised persecution by the same Jesus. The same Jesus that we are following has promised us persecution. And then point number two is benefit of persecution. And we are still under that point number two, benefit of persecution. And we've talked on heavenly rewards for enduring persecution. God is with and helps those being persecuted. And then God allows persecution to spread his message and messengers. And now we're going to be looking at the word can be preached even from prison. The word can be preached, that is, the word of God can be preached even from prison. The gospel can be preached even from prison. That is what we'll be looking at tonight. Let us open our Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 38, verse 13 to 18. Jeremiah 38, verse 13 to 18. Jeremiah 38:13-18. So they drew off Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry, that is, in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes,
then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burnt with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Praise the Lord. As I said earlier, the topic we are looking at tonight says the word can be preached for evil from prison. So we saw in that passage, Jeremiah 38, verse 13 to 18, we saw in that passage how Jeremiah was able to declare the word of God even from prison. He was able to tell the king the mind of God even from inside prison. And I think I mentioned it last week that sometimes God can allow certain situations, I mean certain negative situations, to happen to us because we being in that situation will provide an opportunity for us to preach the word of God to certain people. And I remembered I said that God can allow some people to be falsely accused and imprisoned so that when they get into the prison, they will be able to preach the gospel to the people in the prison. Yeah. It's not that God will keep those people in the prison forever. Yeah, God will just allow them to temporarily stay in the prison because he wants to use them for certain people that they would meet while in the prison. Yeah, because Jeremiah in this passage, or maybe I should say, Jeremiah at this time when he was in prison did not stay forever in prison. Later, he was taken out of the prison. Yeah. So we should not look at some negative situations as the end of the road. In fact, we should see the good that God has planted in that situation. Yeah, the early apostles, they always take advantage of every situation they find themselves to preach the gospel, to share the word of God. The word of God is always very close to their tongue. Yeah, anywhere they find themselves. And they discover an opportunity to share the word, they do that immediately, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of suffering and afflictions, they still share the word. Yeah, there are people that they got converted, they became
born again. Because a sick person in the hospital preached the gospel to them. They were also sick. They were admitted to the hospital. And on the sick bed, they met another sick person on the sick bed. And that other person preached the gospel to them. And then they became born again. They became converted. Now, the person didn't say, why should I be preaching the gospel from my sick bed? Why can't Jesus stop this sickness from happening to me, from bringing me to the hospital? Yeah, some people, while they are in the hospital bed, they are still complaining against God. Whereas some people see it as another opportunity to share the word of God with other patients in the hospital. Yeah, so my problem, the problem with many Christians is that they allow the negative situations they are going through to overwhelm them to the point that they forget the important thing. Yeah, to the point that they forget to do the work of God, which is evangelism. Yeah, they forget to identify opportunities through which they can use to share the word of God with those that needed to hear God's word. Yeah, so they allow the problem they are going through, the challenges they are going through, they allow it to overwhelm them. They allow it to shut up their mouth when they should open that mouth and hear the word of God. Yeah. So you should not be like that. You should not be like that. Let the gospel be on top of your lips and be quick to share the gospel in any situation you find yourself. Be very quick to share the gospel. Yeah. Especially when you find yourself among people that need to hear the gospel, be very quick to share it. Yeah, preaching the gospel does not need certain formula or certain formality. The gospel can be preached anywhere and through several means. Yeah. Maybe, for instance, you are in a car park waiting for a vehicle. You're in a car park or in a bus stop waiting for a vehicle that will take you to where you're going. And then you can see other people in the same park. Yeah, who are also waiting for the vehicle. Even right there, you can start to tell them about the gospel, about Jesus. And not only that, even as you board the vehicle or entered into the vehicle, You can also open your mouth and start talking about Jesus to all the passengers in the vehicle. So that there is nowhere the gospel cannot be preached. It's not only from the pulpit that the gospel should be preached. It's not only from the pulpit. The gospel of Jesus Christ should also be preached outside the pulpit, outside the church. It should be preached in prisons, in the hospitals, in schools, in the market, on the street. It should be preached everywhere. I pray that you will start to do this thing from today henceforth in Jesus' name. So that is the gospel. That is the gospel. It has no limits. It can be preached anywhere, at any time, in any situation. When you are happy, preach the gospel. And when you are not happy, still preach the gospel. When things are going well, preach the gospel. And when things are not going well, still preach the gospel. That is how the early apostles lived their lives. And many of them are in heaven right now, rejoicing and enjoying their rewards. I pray that you will do this thing you are hearing right now. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 to 20.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 to 20. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that they shall bring us before governors and kings. But we don't need to worry about what we are going to say in that very hour. We don't need to worry. We don't even need to think about what we are going to say. Jesus said we should just open our mouths and the Spirit of God will speak through us, even the same Spirit that speaks in us. That Spirit will speak through us in that very moment that
we are being persecuted and being questioned and being accused for doing the will of God or doing the work of God. Yeah, so let us make up our minds to speak the word of God, even in the midst of trials, tribulations, and persecution. I pray that you will be so full of the Holy Spirit to the point that whenever you stand before people to testify about Jesus to them, you will not lack the words to say in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will be so full of the Holy Ghost that whenever you open your mouth to declare the gospel, to preach the gospel, you will be speaking exactly what God is saying to the people listening. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles 16, verse 23 to 31. Acts of the Apostles. Of the Apostles 16, verse 23 to 31, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Praise the Lord. Verse 32, and they speak unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Yeah, you can see that from the prison, they were worshiping God from the midst of the prison. They were worshiping God. Don't forget that before they threw them into the prison, they gave them something. Yeah, in that verse 23, it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, yeah, we don't know how many stripes. Yeah. We don't know how many stripes. Maybe 40 stripes. Yeah. So they beat them. Innocent people were beaten publicly. And they didn't stop there. They went ahead to imprison them. Yeah, but even after that, after they had gone through that, which some of you here will not do what Paul and Silas did if you were to go through what they went through. Yeah, after that public shame, they still opened their mouths and continued to sing praises unto God and continued to pray unto God. They were not complaining to God. They were not murmuring. They were even praising God. They were thanking God. They were excited that they could suffer shame for the sake of Jesus and his gospel. Yeah. So they were not praying in their minds, in their hearts. They were praying and they were singing very loud. From their mouths, with their mouths. And all the other prisoners were listening. Even the keeper of the prison was also listening to them. The keeper of the prison was listening to them. The other prisoners were listening. Yeah, so from the midst of the prison, they began to have strong influence upon the souls in that prison. Yeah, because I'm sure many of the prisoners would also have heard the gospel from the mouth of Paul and Silas. Yeah. So maybe there was a reason God allowed them to go through that. And maybe that reason was because the soul of the keeper of that prison needed to be saved. Because we saw eventually that the keeper of the prison knelt down and I was asking them, what can he do to be saved? Yeah. Yeah, the Bible says if he fell down before Paul and Silas, and was asking that, sirs, What can I do to be saved? Yeah. Somehow, his soul was touched when he saw that miracle, when he saw that earthquake happen. Physical earthquake. He had never seen such thing before. Yeah, he knows that this is God manifesting physically. Yeah, and he knew that such manifestation could even end his life. Yeah, so he knew that God is with these people, these two men. Yeah, he just knew that these two men are not ordinary people and are not even supposed to be imprisoned. Yeah, so if we look away from whatever negative situation we find ourselves, if we look away from whatever negative situation we find ourselves and focus on winning souls, even while going through the negative situation, we are going to see raw power of God being demonstrated. Usually God used to wait. God used to wait for such moment to demonstrate the greatness of his power. So he did that in the prison. And all of them were frightened. So imagine an earthquake of such magnitude happening in a small place. Yeah, everybody will be scared because it will look like the whole place is going to sink down into the ground. So definitely everyone will be scared. Yeah. And God glorified himself through that situation of Paul and Silas. The same way God wants to glorify himself in your life and in your situations, if you respond correctly to those situations, if you set your heart to do the work of God, even when it is not convenient, definitely God is going to glorify himself in your life and in your situations. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So let us learn from what Paul and Silas did in this passage we have read. Let us learn to turn our negative moments into a moment of praises and worship and prayers unto God, and also into a moment of preaching the gospel. May the Lord help you to do this thing. In Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles 28, verse 16. Acts of the Apostles 28 verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Praise the Lord. And then let us read verse 30 to 31 in this same chapter. Verse 30 to 31 of the same Act, chapter 28. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that Paul was captured from Jerusalem, or maybe I should use the word arrested. Yeah, they arrested him. And they began to take him from one political leader to another political leader. He requested then he requested to appeal to Caesar. So it was when Paul requested to appeal to Caesar, since the other Roman leaders could not handle his case. Because the Jews at Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders at Jerusalem, insisted that he must die. That Paul must be killed. But the Romans cannot just allow anyone to die if such person doesn't deserve death. So the Romans took him from them. But the Roman leaders could not release him because they were enjoying bribes and they were in partnership with the corruption that is going on among the Jewish leaders in those days. So they could not release Paul. In fact, one of those leaders would have released him if Paul was going to give him a bribe. But Paul refused to give him a bribe, and he chose to appeal to Caesar. So while he chose to appeal to Caesar, that was when he was taken to Rome. Because that is where Caesar dwells in those days. So on getting to Rome, they They allowed him to have a small freedom. Yeah, they allowed him to have some freedom. More like they gave him a kind of house arrest. House arrest. Yeah, so he could stay in his own house. He could have some little freedom, but those freedom must be within his house. So he's not allowed to leave the house. Yeah, so while he was in this hired house, yeah, he was still preaching the gospel. Yeah, because there was a soldier that was assigned to stay with him in that house to make sure that he doesn't go beyond certain distance. Yeah. So even while he was in that house, people were coming to meet him and to hear the gospel from his mouth. Yeah, and he preached to all of them. In fact, there are many, many letters, many epistles who were later compiled together and become part of the Bible. He wrote many of those epistles from this prison that they put him in Rome. Yeah. He wrote many epistles to many churches, and those epistles later became part of the scriptures. And not only that, he continued to minister to people right there from that prison. Yeah. So let us learn to continue to serve the Lord, to continue to share the word of the Lord, even in the midst of situations that look shameful or bad. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will give you grace to do that. In Jesus' name. I want you to know that there is no excuse for not preaching the gospel. You cannot say, oh, it's raining heavily, because it is raining so heavily, so I cannot preach the gospel. Yeah, you cannot say, there is no excuse. In as much as you have your mouth and you can speak, and you have your legs and you can move, you have no excuse to preach the gospel. Yeah, I mean, you have no excuse to not preach the gospel. You have no excuse. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will help you. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 1:12-14. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Praise the Lord. You can see that this epistle was written from the prison. This epistle was written from Rome. This epistle to the Philippians. Yeah, this particular epistle was written from Rome when Paul the Apostle was under house arrest, which is also a type of prison. Yeah. So he wrote this book or this letter to the church in Philippi, and he was telling them that the things that happened to him, which look like a negative thing, happened so that the gospel can reach many people. Let us look at New Living Translation of this same passage. Yeah, I want you to understand that passage very well. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. I'm reading from New Living Translation. It says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." So you can see, everyone around Paul, they eventually came to acknowledge that it is Jesus that allowed Paul to be imprisoned. Yeah, because they were excited to have heard the gospel from the mouth of Paul, because all of them were converted to Christianity, including the soldiers that were guarding the building Paul was living. All of them were converted. Yeah. And to God, the salvation of one soul is more important than the freedom of Paul. Yeah, I mean, God is more joyful that a soul is won than to just release Paul from the prison and let him continue to travel from one country to another. Yeah. So God put him in the prison because he wanted many people to hear God's message from his mouth. He wanted many people to hear the gospel from his mouth while inside the prison. Yeah, and who knows how much exploits the people that heard the gospel from Paul while he was in the prison. Who knows how much exploits they did for God's kingdom after they were converted through Paul. Yeah. And then I want us to also look at the same Philippians chapter 4 verse 22. Philippians 4. I read, and all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. You can see, Paul became so popular that even the people that are very close to Caesar got to become Christians. Yeah, and even the family of Caesar was the emperor at that time, the Roman emperor, the more like the president of the whole nation. Somehow people from Caesar's household or from his family got to meet with Paul, and they were also converted into Christianity. Yeah. Maybe Paul would have never gotten a chance to meet with people inside Caesar's family or to meet with Caesar himself. Yeah, but that the imprisonment gave him that opportunity, and he was able to win many of them onto Christ. He was able to win their souls into God's kingdom. Yeah, so we should take advantage of whatever situation we find ourselves and wherever the situation got us to. Yeah, wherever the situation takes us to, we should take advantage of those situations, especially the bad ones or negative situations or painful situations. We should take advantage of them to share the gospel, to share God's word, because you never know the souls that God have placed in that in that situation for you to win. Yeah, you never know the souls that need to hear the gospel from your mouth. I pray that you will not forget this teaching, and that you will do this thing you have heard tonight in Jesus' name. Yeah, because you don't know, maybe it is because of the salvation of just one soul that God allowed you to go through a certain situation that took you to a certain place. Yeah, you never know. You never know. I pray that you will be sensitive in your spirit to discover God's will for you in those situations that appears negative in your life, in Jesus' name. Before we run down, I want us to look at some few scripture verses. Yeah, and in these verses, we're going to see how God brings good out of things that appear to be bad. Yeah, God gets good out of what seems bad. Now, let us look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis 15, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. This is Joseph talking to his fellow brothers, his siblings, his fellow brothers. You know the story, how they sold him as a slave, to become a slave. Yeah, you know the story, how Joseph's brethren, Joseph's family members, how they sold him into slavery. Yeah. And you also know the story how he from the prison became the prime minister of Egypt. Yeah. So eventually he had to meet with his brothers face to face. Yeah. When there was great famine in the entire realm, in many countries at that time. Yeah. His brothers came to Egypt to buy some food so that they can survive. Yeah. And he met with them. And he was able to get them to realize that it was necessary for what they did to him to happen. Because if that had not happened, he wouldn't have gotten to the position of the prime minister. And not only that, he wouldn't have been the solution. He wouldn't have become the solution to the famine that was going to kill many people all over the world at that time. Yeah, so they thought they were doing him bad. Yeah, because they hated the fact that he kept having dreams of being the greatest among all of them. Yeah, and they were even going to kill him, but eventually they changed their minds, and they sold him into slavery. Yeah, so at that time they thought they were doing him bad, but they never knew that they were actually helping him to get to the height that God had prepared for him. Yeah. So that is why it is not good for you as a Christian to always want everything that happens to you on a daily basis to be nice, nice things. Yeah. If you have that mentality, you cannot go far in fulfilling your destiny. If you have the mentality of running away from troubles, running away from afflictions, running away from attacks, yeah, and then you only want nice things to keep happening in your life, it means you can't go far in fulfilling your destiny. Yeah, because on the road to fulfilling destiny, there must be all kinds of troubles and trials and tribulations and persecution. Yeah, and afflictions that God will allow to happen to you, because those are the things that will take you to the place of fulfillment of destiny. But if you're always running away from, if you're always running away from attacks, problems, troubles, afflictions, persecutions, then you're not ready to ascend into the height God has prepared for you. Yeah. So we saw that what the brothers of Joseph did to him was part of God's plan for him. Yeah, but an average human being will never consider that as God's plan. Yeah, most human beings will not see that as God's plan. Some people will say, how can God's plan for my life be that I go into prison? They will tell you, over my dead body. They will tell you, God forbid. God's plan for my life can never be that I go into prison. What we saw in the case of Joseph, that was God's plan for his life. Yeah, and it had to happen. Yeah. So I pray that you will not be foolish to the point that you will by yourself run away from God's plan for your life. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 to 28. Exodus 14, verse 1 to 28. Because this is a very long verse. I mean, this is a very long Bible passage. I will not be reading it. But you're going to see in those verses how God hardened Pharaoh's heart to pursue the Hebrews so that his entire army can drown in the Red Sea. Yeah. Yeah, because God God discovered that he needed to finish his judgment on Pharaoh and his empire. Yeah, because God did not want the Israelites to have to fight that battle again. Yeah, somehow God knew that if Pharaoh and his entire army is not completely destroyed, they will still run after the Israelites and catch up with them in the wilderness, and they might just kill all of them in the wilderness. Because in those days they have different means to monitor people. So they have ways to get information. Yeah, so even though Pharaoh eventually told the people to leave his country, yet God knew that Pharaoh had not given up on enslaving them and on destroying them. So that was why God hardened Pharaoh's heart one last time. He hardened his heart one last time. Why? Because he wanted to finish him. He wanted to destroy him completely in the Red Sea, him and all his soldiers. I've seen people who we say, but I have prayed for this particular enemy to leave my life alone. Why is this enemy still coming after me? Yeah, maybe God is the one that is hardening the hearts of your enemies to still continue to come after you, because God wanted to completely destroy them, as he did to Pharaoh. Yeah, so maybe that is why it seems your enemies are not giving up. Maybe it is because God wanted you to pray more and more, to the point where he will give you complete deliverance from that enemy, to the point where he will completely destroy your enemy, and then you become free forever. I pray that you'll be wise in Jesus' name. And then the last scripture before we round off, that is Psalm 76, verse 10. Psalm 76, verse 10. It says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Now let us look at it in New Living Translation. Psalm 76. Verse 10. It says, human defiance only enhances your glory, for you use it as a weapon. You can see? It says, human defiance. That is when human beings turn against God. Only enhances God's glory. For God uses it as a weapon. Yeah. So maybe you found yourself among people who hate God so much. And they hate the fact that you are serving God and you are doing His will. And then maybe you are thinking of running away from those people. No, you don't need to run away, because God knows how to deal with such people. Yeah. You know, in that verse it says, human defiance only enhances God's glory. So the more people fight against God and against God, God's cause on earth, the more God gets glorified. The more glory God gets. Yeah, the more people fight against Him and against His gospel, the more glorious God becomes. Yeah, because God knows how to deal with His enemies. I pray that you will you will do God's work with this understanding. Yeah, with the understanding that the more attack you get from people while doing God's work, is the more glorious God's work will become in your hands. Yeah. So I pray you're able to do God's work with such understanding, that the more persecution you get from people while serving God, while pleasing God, while doing God's work, the more God will be glorified in your life and in the things you do for Him. In Jesus' name, I pray that you serve God with such understanding. In Jesus' name. I'm going to stop here. If you have any question, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this short teaching we have all listened to. We thank you for speaking to us through the pages of your scriptures. Thank you for showing us how persecution gives birth to your glory. How persecution gives birth to your power. If we allow your will to be done in those moments we get persecuted. Thank you also for showing us that we can preach your word, we can teach your word in any way issues of life take us to. Thank you for showing us that irrespective of whatever condition or situation we find ourselves, we can use that condition to glorify you. We can use that situation to tell many others about Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you make everyone here apply this teaching in their various daily lives, in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will not forget these truths you have heard when you find yourself in those situations to apply the truths. in Jesus' name. May the Lord in His mercy strengthen you with His Holy Spirit and grace to be able to stand for Him during temptations, trials, tribulations, and persecutions in Jesus' name. May the Lord strengthen you with grace to be able to open your mouth in the midst of multitudes that hate God and that hate the gospel, and testify of Jesus without fear in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.